So for our New Testament, if you wouldn't mind turning with me to Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14. And this is a chapter packed with events from Jesus' ministry. And you can read just portions of this, and there's just a ton in these verses. So I'd like to start in verse 13, and we'll read a little here. When Jesus heard of it, and the "it," if you read a little bit before that, is the execution of John the Baptist by Herod. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past," meaning it's getting late. "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals," or food. But Jesus said unto them, the disciples, "They need not depart. Give them to eat." Great question, right? Great statement. Right? The disciples are like, "Look, we got no food. We got a bunch of people. They need to go get some victuals." And Jesus says, "No, you can feed them." Right? Crazy. That's how Jesus is. And they said unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and looked up to heaven, and he blessed. And that's an interesting thing, because in the Jewish mindset, they would always bless God. Okay? We don't think of it like that. We always ask God to bless us and bless our food, or bless our stuff, right? Or whatever. And the Jewish say, no, bless God for what he's done. So it's kind of an interesting thing. So Jesus is blessing God, not the food. Anyway. And he broke it, and he gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. So, phenomenal miracle. We could spend a lot of time on that one right there, but we're going to keep reading. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. This is the Sea of Galilee. Tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Of course. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And I doubt they just said it. I'm pretty sure they were screaming. They cried out for fear, it says. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, come on. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And that when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. That's the power of Jesus. So I want to focus on this event of the disciples going out into the water. Jesus asked them to cross the sea ahead of him. And there's really no reason that he didn't go with them. But he obviously had a plan, right? So he sends them out ahead of him. And the Sea of Galilee is known for massive storms. It's 700 feet below sea level, and the mountains kind of rise up around it. And so you get these incredibly cold winds come down the mountains, and the warmth of the water, they just clash. And so you actually get really violent storms on the Sea of Galilee. So this was a common thing. And you kind of have to understand from their standpoint, the Sea of Galilee was known as the abyss. So they actually feared it like nothing else. They actually thought that demons lived under the water. They were pretty confident of that. So as they were headed out on the water, this was not just, you know, an average day on, you know, on the Lake Michigan or something, right? This is a serious thing for them. And Jesus knows all this, right? Jesus knows what fears we have. He knows what worries we have. He knows all this, right? So did he set them up a little bit? Maybe, right? I don't know, but maybe. It seems so. It seems like he did set them up a little bit. Because this was was it the fourth watch? I think it's the fourth watch of the night. Let's see, fourth watch. Yeah. Fourth watch of the night, verse 25. Which is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So that's the night when you're a little delirious, the part of the, you know, time of night when you're a little delirious anyway. So they're rowing out there trying to get across the sea. The storm blows up and they're off course and they're kind of out in the middle. It says the boat was in the midst of the sea. So they're out in the middle, and this shouldn't have taken so long, but they fighting the storm, they were rowing for like 8 hours. If you look at the math, it's like 8 to 9 hours. So they're worn out. They're tired. They are weary. And Jesus decides to walk across the lake, right? Of course, why not? Did he have to walk across the lake first, right? Couldn't Jesus have just disappeared on one side of the lake and appeared on the other? Sure. He did that sometimes. He just disappeared out of the midst of the people. But he didn't. He actually walks across the water, which you think, why on earth would he do that? Well, I don't know, setting him up, right? And it's early in the morning. I was thinking about the overnight shift doctors, you know, that have to do the overnight. The 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. is a bad time to go to the doctor. Don't go to the ER at between 3 and 6. The doctors are a little delirious. That's kind of how these guys were. They were tired. They were worn out. And Jesus comes walking across the sea. And they think he's a ghost. You would too, right? I would too. You see a man walking on the water and you go, this is not good, right? We're in the abyss. There are demons under us. And here is something walking on the water. We're done, right? We're done. And so I'm sure it's just, you read I always thought it was funny how we read the King James, we read the scripture and we just read it monotone, right? And it's like, and I think the story was crazy, right? I mean, it was blowing and wind and they're yelling, they're screaming, right? They're just panicked. They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." I don't think they said it was a spirit. It says they cried out with fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, and he said, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Don't be afraid." Peter, being Peter, right? He says, "If it's you, tell me to come out there," right? In a trembling voice, I'm sure. And Jesus says, "Yeah, sure, come on, come out here." Peter gets out and walks on the water for a little bit. And he looks around and he gets nervous and cries out to Jesus again, right? He says, "Save me." And it says, immediately Jesus did. He reached out. Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Right? And Peter's like, "Why did I doubt? I was walking on water." You know, I always think it's interesting. The way Jesus talked, sometimes one time they asked him, you know, "Why do you talk to us in parables?" And he said, "Look, you don't even understand when I talk to you about earthly things, let alone if I talk to you about heavenly things." Okay, so we have to understand Jesus is from a different, you know, he's on a different level, different plane. He was 100% human and yet 100% Yahweh. Okay, that's a different plane. And so that we always think in human terms, and Jesus, you know, rarely did. He understands us, but he always spoke in very spiritual terms. So interesting. The interesting thing here that Matthew records is that verse 32, "And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and they worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God," is what Matthew records. One interesting thing is the other Gospels that you read of this account, they don't mention Peter walking on water. So either that was Peter's, like, you know, throw in to Matthew, like, "Hey, no, I did this. I'm telling you, I did this." In the chaos of what was happening, who knows, right? Who knows whether the other guys just had no clue what was happening. And this was a moment between Peter and Jesus alone, kind of a thing. But it is, in Matthew, it is where Jesus records the first time that the disciples acknowledge that you are the Son of God. Now, that's profound, only in the sense that if you just read what we read before, he just fed 5,000 men plus women and children out of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's pretty amazing, right? Is that more amazing or less amazing than walking on water? Why was it now that the disciples said, "Oh, truly, this is the Son of God"? Why did Jesus walk across the water? Interesting questions. And I'm sure the disciples were asking these same things. They had seen other miracles as well. It wasn't like the feeding of the 5,000 was the first miracle. Okay, they'd seen other things, other amazing things up to this point. In fact, Jesus had calmed the storm before this. I think in Matthew 8, maybe. So as I thought about this, as I dug into this, there are answers to these questions. Okay? And the simple answer is, keep reading the Bible, right? Don't stop reading the Bible. That's the simple answer. So, the disciples were Jewish students. They knew the Word, okay? They had their Jewish Bible. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. Jesus was the Old Testament scriptures, you could say, right? He knew them, but he was them. And Jesus knew that they knew their scriptures, okay? And he said so many times, I came to fulfill these scriptures, right? So we started in Psalm 77, and we read the first part of it. But you have to keep reading. You got to keep reading. So if you want to flip with me back to Psalm 77, let's finish what Asaph said. He posed his problem, he posed his issue before God, and it was real, right? This was a serious, he was questioning God, and he had all these questions of, are you there? You know, has your mercy disappeared? Have you forgotten to be gracious? All these things. But then he doesn't stop there. He actually answers the questions, starting at verse 10. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. The sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Now get ready for this. Verse 16. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee, they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Verse 19. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So why did Jesus decide to take a stroll across the lake? And what was it about that the disciples declared, truly, this is the Son of God? Did you catch that in verse 19? Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known or not seen. This is another way to translate that. Thy footsteps are not seen. There's another passage. You don't have to turn to it, but Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9, Job is answering. And he says, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart, mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountains and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place and the pillars tremble thereof. He's using metaphors to describe God. Make sense? He's not actually saying literally that God removes mountains and overturns the mountains in his anger, shakes the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. They're metaphors, right? Powerful metaphors to describe God. Which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. Did you catch that? Wow. God alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waters, or the waves, of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Verse 11, lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. So I think these disciples knew their scripture, and I think they knew the Psalms, and I know they knew Job. Okay? And when they saw this one, Jesus, whom they weren't quite sure what this guy was all about, right? They weren't even sure when he died what he was all about. They thought, end of story, I don't know what's happening now, right? So at this early time in his ministry, they weren't sure quite what this Jesus was all about. But when he walked on the water, all of a sudden I think their memories just light bulb moment, right? And they're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Do you remember that in Job? Remember hearing that about God walking on the waves of the sea? And in Psalms, right, where it says his path is in the water and you can't see his footsteps? And I think a light bulb moment went on and they worshiped him. So I think Jesus proved to them who he was by doing what the scripture says God would do. Seems simple. But I think that's what Jesus did consistently. Right? He always went back to the scriptures, and I think that's the magical thing about the scriptures that we have, is keep reading. It's so intertwined. It's so consistent. The story starts from the front and goes to the back. And it's not just happens to be sort of about Jesus sometimes. He is 100% through and through the whole thing. So do we really acknowledge who God is and what he's capable of? Will you and I notice God as he passes near us? Or are we unable to recognize him because of fear or worry or distraction? Verse 11 in Job said, lo, he goeth by me and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. And how often is that maybe the case, where God comes really near us? And maybe because we don't know the scriptures like we should, maybe because we're not letting them saturate in our hearts like we should, we don't notice God, right? And I think these men, the disciples, had all this fear and worry in front of them. They had the thoughts of the abyss and the demons underneath them. And yet when Jesus walked on the water, they perceived he was a spirit, and then when they saw it was actually Jesus, then they go, oh, it is God. You are God. And so that profound moment of understanding, I think, is it's something we all grasp for, right? Is to see God as he comes near to us and recognize him for who he is. In Deuteronomy 31:6, we read, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And I think that's a powerful thing, that a powerful promise that these disciples learned, that even through the storm, Jesus said, I'm going to be there. I'll be right there. I'm walking towards you. Don't panic. And that's the same way in our lives. Oswald Chambers, I'll finish with this. Oswald Chambers said, sometimes it's not the difficulty of life, but the drudgery of it that makes me think God will forsake me. When there's no major difficulty to overcome, no vision from God, nothing wonderful or beautiful, just the everyday activities of life, do I hear God's assurance even in these? We have the idea that God is going to do some exceptional thing, that he's preparing and equipping us for some extraordinary work in the future. But as we grow in his grace, we find that God is glorifying himself here and now, at this very moment. If we have God's assurance behind us, the most amazing strength becomes ours. And we learn to sing, glorifying Him even in the ordinary and ordinary days and ways of life.
Thank you, Brother Caleb. Appreciate you walking us through that scripture. And I am so encouraged by just any time I look at Peter, just because of just his humanness, right? He begins so confidently. He says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come." And he says, "Come." And he just doesn't think about it. He just goes. And then he thinks about it. And then he looks around and he's like, "What am I doing?" And I can so identify with that. And begin something passionately and then think, "Well, wait a minute. Right? Am I equipped to do this? Am I able to do this?" And the doubts start to flood in. Right? And we're not able. We're not able to do any of it. It's only through Christ. But through Christ, we're able to do anything that He asks of us. So I'd like us to sing together from the Hymns of Zion. Actually, it's from the Tabernacle Hymns. Hymn 457, Stepping in the Light. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior. Stepping in the light. Stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Please sing as you would choose from this hymn.
Brother Rich, can I ask you to have the prayer, please?
We thank thee again, Lord, for the opportunity that's been ours that we could spend this day in thy house praising thee and learning about truths and about the plan of salvation. We thank thee, Lord, for the message that was brought so plain and simple to us today about the plan of salvation and what we must do to prepare ourselves. And we thank thee, Lord, for the brothers who did bring forth the word. We thank thee, Lord, for this congregation here in Indianapolis and the haven it does provide. And we pray that thou would continue to bless them. We thank thee, Lord, for all the material gifts thou hast given us. We have been blessed above measure. Help us, Lord, to be good stewards with what thou hast given. We've been reminded in this morning about opportunities to share and help those that are in need. And we pray that thou would put on each of our hearts what would thou would have us to do with the abundance that we do have. We thank thee, Lord, for the plan of salvation, that with price that was paid on Calvary, as we've been reminded of today, that the blood that was shed to cover our sins and give us a hope of spending eternity with thee in heaven someday if we are true and faithful. So we pray that thou would hear each prayer, pray that thou would bless, thou would strengthen and encourage those that are down. Pray that thou would help us all, that we can be an encouragement one to another. As we go forth in another week, we pray that thy blessing, thy protection would be about us, and continue to walk with us and guide us. Lift us up and strengthen us is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.